ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासाम् ततो जायामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 63 टेक्स्ट नंबर 43। अहम् ब्रह्माथ विबुधा मुनायस चमलाशया सर्वात्मना प्रपनस स्त्वम् आत्मनाम प्रेष्ठम् ईश्वरम्। अहम् ब्रह्माथ विबुध मुनयाश्चमलाशय सर्वात्मना प्रपन्नस्त्वम् आत्मनाम प्रेष्ठम् ईश्वरम्। अहम् ब्रह्माथ विबुध मुनयाश्चमलाशय सर्वात्मान प्रपन्नस्त्वम् आत्मनाम प्रेष्ठम् ईश्वरम्। अहम् ब्रह्माथ विबुध मुनयाश्चमलाशय सर्वात्मा प्रपन्नस्त्वम् आत्मनाम प्रेष्ठम् ईश्वरम्। Mother Jees. अहम् आई ब्रह्मा ब्रह्मा अथ एंड ऑल्सो विबुध द डेमिगॉड्स मुनय द सेजेस च एंड अमल प्योर आशय हुज कॉन्शियसनेस सर्वात्मान होल हार्टेडली प्रपन्नः सरेंडर्ड त्वम् अंटु यू आत्मनम् द सेल्फ प्रेष्ठम् the dearmost. Ishwaram, the Lord. Translation. I, Lord Brahma, the other demigods, and the pure-minded sages have all surrendered wholeheartedly unto you, O dearmost self and the Lord. Text 44. Let us worship you, the Supreme Lord, to be freed from material life. You are the maintainer of the universe and the cause of its creation and demise. Equipoised and perfectly at peace, you are true friend, self and worshipable Lord. You are one without the second, the shelter of all the worlds and all the souls. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami states that the Lord is true friend because he sets one's proper intelligence into motion if one desires to know the truth about God and the soul. Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti both emphasize that the term bhavapavargaya indicates the highest liberation of pure love of Godhead, characterized by unalloyed devotion service unto the Lord. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti also explains that the Supreme Lord is samam, perfectly objective and balanced, whereas other living beings having an incomplete grasp of reality cannot be perfectly objective. Those who surrender unto the Lord also become fully objective by taking shelter of His Supreme Consciousness.
Om Ajnan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So in this chapter of Lord Krishna fights with the greatest devotee of the Lord. And in these two verses, Lord Shiva is saying that I, that is himself, Lord Brahma and other demigods and the pure-minded sages have all surrendered wholeheartedly unto you, O dearmost self and the Lord. So establishing the fact that the only person that we need to surrender is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and he's praying in this wonderful way. And if you analyze and if you read the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that in this verse is actually the repentance which Lord Shiva is showing. In the previous verses he has mentioned that one who does not worship Krishna is willingly drinking poison. The previous verses have said that. And in this verse he is saying that we, that is himself, Lord Brahma and all the sages, should worship Lord Krishna. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says very clear in his commentary that Lord Shiva is regretting that how can I side with a demon, Banasura, even though he is my devotee. I have drunk poison willingly, he is saying, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying. That I am describing others, but actually it is not others. It is me who has drunk poison because I have sided with a demon. I have been supporting a demon. How can I ever do that? Only you are worth in a surrendering. And then he goes on to say that in the 44th verse, that we should all surrender to Krishna, and why we should surrender to Krishna. So this is in these prayers, we understand the various reasons Lord Shiva gives us on why one must surrender to Krishna. One of the very important parts of studying Srimad Bhagavatam is to understand the glorious qualities of Lord Krishna. Because the whole problem that we all have is that we do not know Krishna enough. Or rather, we know Him, but we think something very different of ourselves. Krishna is very great, and we are very, very minute. And to the extent we think ourselves to be having some significance, to the extent that we think that we have some positivity, then as explained by our acharyas, the supreme positive Krishna will repel from us. If we think that we have something good in ourselves, if we have some significance. Significance means something positive. But when we understand our insignificance, when we understand our tuchhata, our insignificant position, then the supreme positive Krishna will easily attract us, because the positive attracts the negative. And when I say negative, in this case, means to understand that how insignificant we are. So one way to realize how insignificant we are is to actually understand how fallen we are, to realize the truth that we are fallen, and we analyze how fallen we are, how corrupt we are, how much we are bombarded by negativities in our life every second. What is the way we think? In spite of intense devotional service or engaged in devotional service for so many years, but still our mind is so very bombarded by negativities. We realize our fallen condition. Bhakti Thakur writes, yesterday was his wonderful Disciplines Day, and he writes bhajans after bhajans talking about his insignificant position and showing the significant position of Krishna. Tumi Rishikesha Rishikadamiya, he says. My senses are uncontrolled. But oh Krishna, you are Rishikesh and Rishikadamiya, that you control my senses. That I am a soul Vishaya, I'm struggling with all the Vishayas, but Krishna, you can take care of me. So one thing is to understand our insignificant position, but another way of realizing our insignificant position is to understand the greatness of Krishna. When Krishna becomes very large in front of us, obviously we become very small. Right? So Bhagavatam does this both the things. It exposes our insignificance, and parallelly it shows the significant position of Krishna. The supreme significant position of Krishna. So Lord Shiva, herein he says that we should surrender to Krishna. And why is it that we should surrender to Krishna? What is the reason that we should surrender to Krishna? Bhagavatam again and again and again and again talks about this. The need to surrender to Krishna. And he says that Krishna is the only person who is the creator, the maintainer, and the destroyer. There could be so many small creators, small maintainers, and small destroyers. But the supreme creator, destroyer, and maintainer is only Krishna. Only one. Ekala. Only one. Krishna is the only creator, maintainer, and destroyer. That is the reason why we should surrender to Krishna. Because Krishna is that only one. Everybody else, there are many small creators, destroyers, and maintainers. But Krishna is that one. Then he says that Krishna is perfectly objective, because he knows the complete reality. This is very wonderful description of Krishna. That we have these two understandings. One is objective understanding, another is subjective understanding. Objective understanding means that we understand things the way they are, without any tinge of our material understanding. But subjective understanding would mean
the understanding which has some reality, but which is tinged by the understanding of the person who is seeing that thing, which could be erroneous. Because as, you know, that's why we use the word, this is a subjective understanding, which is not absolute. But Krishna is the only person who can have an objective understanding, because he knows the complete reality. Nobody in this world can know objectively things 100%, because nobody in this world has a 100% understanding of reality. What a beautiful prayer of Lord Shiva. Very, very analytical. And we must understand this. We must understand Krishna in a very analytical way also. So it appeals to our intelligence. He is saying that Krishna is the only person who has objective understanding. All of our understandings, even though he might be a great demigod like Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva himself saying, we all have understanding, but it is subjective. It is through our eyes, which have a tendency to make mistakes, to make errors. But Krishna is adokshaja. He cannot make any errors. And when he knows the reality, so when he gives when he has understanding, his understanding is completely objective, and surrendering to a person who has a 100% objective understanding is the greatest benefit. Because he knows the reality. Nobody else knows the reality. And then he goes on to say that Krishna is peaceful. And it's so important, if you want to surrender, we want to surrender to a person who is peaceful. If he's constantly udveg, he's having the vegas constantly and he's disturbed by the vegas or udvegs, then he's not worth surrendering. Sama sarveshu, he's equal. A person who is worth surrendering is sama sarveshu, is equal. And Krishna is the only person who is peaceful and equal. And he goes on to say that he is Surida, friend and well-wisher of everyone, and unique. And today we would like to just briefly understand this quality of Krishna, of being a friend to everyone. Krishna is such a friend. A friend indeed, as explained, is a friend indeed. Very, very, very often quoted phrase, friend indeed is a friend indeed. But when is it that we really need somebody? When we really need somebody is at the time of death. But that's the real need. There's a real helpless situation that we all are going to be put in. But who is it that is going to be at the side of all of us? We can be physically at the side of a person who is dying, relatives, friends, well-wishers. They can be to our side. But who is really to our side, at the side of our soul? And that's Krishna. So this very interesting understanding of Krishna as a real friend is for all of us to know, because if we want to make friendship, we want to be friends with Krishna. And Krishna has so many amazing qualities. Whom do we want to be friends with? Naturally, we are drawn in a relationship of friendship with somebody who has wonderful qualities. That, I want to be friends with him because he is so beautiful. He is so understanding. He is so kind. He is so generous. He's so charitable. These are the qualities when we see in somebody, we naturally are drawn that I want to be friends with this person. He's so understanding. He's so considerate. So let us analyze the qualities of Krishna. Krishna has unlimited qualities, so much so that it is not possible for Ananta Shesh to describe them with his 1,000 hoods. Krishna has unlimited qualities in abundance. And still Rupa Goswami explains that he has 64 main qualities. Now what is it? At one side we are talking about unlimited qualities, and Rupa Goswami says he has 64 main qualities. I was reading this very, very interesting book by His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj. And he explains that just like, you know, we use a small cup of water to prime a pump. to start the pump, you smoke over water. And when the pump starts, there's a constant flow of water from underground. Yes? We use a small pump, a small cup of water, we put it, and then there's constant flow from underground. The pump keeps on pulling. Similarly, it's explained. Rupa Goswami is giving us this initial cup full of qualities of Krishna, 64. And when devotees start relishing those 64 qualities, it's like a small cup. Slowly, slowly, they start extracting unlimited nectarian qualities of Krishna. Beautiful understanding. Is this the beginning? Something like a kick start. Like what is dhakka start? And if something doesn't work, then we have to kick start. And when it starts, it can go on for thousands of kilometers. We need to give it a kick start because it is not enough warm. So our mind is dull. It has become cold. Because associating with desire for sense gratification, which is making us cold. There is no warmth for Krishna. There is no love for Krishna. When there is love, our heart is called, it is warm. Right? He's a warm-hearted person, we say. But when there is no warmth, there is no love, it becomes cold, very dry. So we need a kickstart. And that's why Rupa Goswami gives us Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and he says, please, my dear readers, sadhakas, this book is meant for sadhakas. He's the Abhideya Guru who's helping us after Sambandha to help continue our relation with Krishna, develop relation with Krishna. He said, here are the 64 qualities. And we read those qualities, it is like a small cup he is putting, and then slowly when we keep on meditating upon these qualities of Krishna, we find Krishna has unlimited qualities. And one of the very interesting qualities of Krishna is, as explained, is prema vashya. It means submissive to love. Krishna has this amazing quality of being submissive to the love. And what is the meaning of submissive? What does it really mean to be submissive? One who meekly, obediently conforms to the authority of somebody in a very meek way, in a very obedient way, that yes, I accept your authority. You are my Prabhu. That is called submissiveness. And when the submissiveness is out of love, submissive can be out of many things, out of duty. And most of the love, or whatever the submissiveness we see in the corporate world, is out of duty. If I don't do this, then you know, I will have problems. Out of duty, out of disgust, kya kara karna padega? There is no love, but it's just disgust, if what to do, helpless situation. But when that submissiveness is out of love, it is called prema vashya. And Krishna is having this quality of prema vashya. And when one is, and Krishna is such an amazing person that he has this quality of prema vashya in extreme, because Krishna is having all the qualities in full. Nobody can have anything more than Krishna. As Prabhupada says, you are most nothing. Right? Prabhupada says in the letter to somebody that you are most nothing. I'm most humble. No, you're most nothing. You're simply insignificant. But Krishna is the most of everything. Krishna is having the completeness of everything. And we talk of prema vashya, or the quality of being submissive to the love. Krishna has that in complete extreme proportion. But it is not that the love that Krishna becomes submissive to, it is mundane love. What is this beautiful verse? Atmendra priti vancha tare balikam, Krishnendra priti icha dhare prema nam. That the one love which is satisfying our senses, that takes the name of kam. And that love or that prem is not even touching Krishna. That's not the love that makes Krishna submissive. But Krishnendra priti vancha, the love which is satisfying the senses of Krishna, that is real prem. And that prem makes Krishna submissive. Prema vashya. And then we see this prema vashya in so many wonderful pastimes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that that Vasudev Datta has purchased me with his love. He can sell me in any marketplace and I am sold. How is it that a devotee can purchase Krishna? It is the quality of Prema Vashya. Similarly, we see the same quality in Sridhar Kolavecha. But today we like to briefly understand this particular quality and the discussion that happened between Durvasa Muni and Lord Narayan has beautifully explained in this book that I was reading by Shivaram Swami. Very, very wonderfully explained this quality of Krishna's love for his devotees. As we know this beautiful story of Ambarish and Durvasa Muni, Ambarish was doing this fast and he was on a threshold of finishing this fast. Durvasa Muni comes and he says, I must serve you as a guest. He says, I need to take my bath. He went to take his bath, goes into meditation. Time is going. Amrish has been told by his advisors, you can take some water, no problem. Water is breaking and not breaking simultaneously. Take some water. Durvas realizes, becomes very unproportionately angry. There is no significance to his anger. Very disproportionate to the situation. And when we become disproportionately angry, we do crazy things. Many times we see that. Because of some previous conditionings or some thought process that is going on in our mind, a situation comes, we become very disproportionately angry in a situation. And people wonder, well, why is it that you're becoming so angry? Does this demand so much anger? And he threw up his hair and he threw and created a fiery demon just for somebody drinking water. And then this fiery demon, as we know, to fast forward the story, Sudarshan Chakra came running after this. He killed the fiery demon and came running after Durvas. And Durvas was running. He went to Lord Shiva. He went to Lord Brahma first, then to Lord Shiva, and then he comes running to Lord Vishnu, to Lord Narayana. He says, please protect me. And this is a discussion which is happening between Durvas and Narayan. And he says, oh my dear Lord, please protect me. I need to take shelter of you. And Narayan asks him, how did you think that you can take shelter of Shiva and Lord Brahma? Don't you know that they are all submissive to me? How do you think that they can give shelter from my weapon? My weapon is much more superior to these two personalities. They are submissive to me. How do you think that you can take shelter of them? And then he went on to say that even I cannot give you any shelter. And Durvasa says, even you can't give me any shelter. Why? You are supremely independent. You are supremely powerful. And then Lord Narayan says, no, I am also dependent. I said, but you are dependent on what? You are supremely independent, Abhigya Swarat. Whom are you dependent upon? And then Lord Narayan says, I'm dependent upon the sadhus. I said, you're dependent upon the sadhus, they're your devotees? How is it possible? How is it possible that you're dependent upon the sadhus? This is the wonderful quality of Prema Vashya, as it is explained by Narayan. We'll see this. So because I'm unable to give up my feelings of indebtedness to them, I am so indebted to the sadhus for all the love that they show me. I am ready to give them anything. In this beautiful story of Sridhar Kolavecha, when he comes in front of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doing the Mahaprakash, he says, Sridhar, please ask for something. I want to give you something. And Sridhar says, I do not want anything. I said, no, please ask. I can give you anything. You are a pauper. I can give you wealth equal to that of Indra. I can give you this mystic siddhis. Anything that you want. Say, I don't want anything. I don't want any liberation. I don't want any siddhis. I don't want any wealth. I simply want this pastime of you coming as Nimai Pandit and stealing away all my banana paraphernalia to happen again and again and again. That's all I need. And then Lord Narayan says that this is the indebtedness, that they give up everything for me. I even give them impersonal liberation. And as explained, Lord Narayan paused for some time. I said, Durvas, they even give up the desire for impersonal liberation, knowing very well that Durvas Muni was an impersonalist. And he was telling Narayan, was telling him, Lord Narayan was telling him, that they even give up impersonal liberation, Durvas. Something that you are running after, they give it up as insignificant, tuccha. And Durvas was wondering, how can they give it up? And then he says that, Lord goes on to say, he is describing Lord Narayan, that I am like a prisoner in the heart of the devotees of mine. I am like a person haunted by the beloved. Just see this amazing quality of Prema Vashya, which is explained. Narayan is saying that I am like a lover haunted by the love of the beloved. We see people, we see so many stories of people haunted by the love of the beloved. Broken marriage, broken love, frustrated love, songs are written. So many, I don't want to repeat, some songs are coming to my mind. Right? So many, there's more frustrated love songs than, real, happy love songs. But Lord Narayan is describing himself that I am like that person who is haunted by the love. I just love my devotees. And then Narayan goes on to say that a very important secret. Durva says this, I can understand, O Narayan, that you love your devotees. And I can understand these devotees have given their life to you. They are full time engaged in your service. Devotees like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Sukadev Goswami, Vyas. These are all great devotees. They have given their life. But what about king? And moment he said king, Lord Narayan stopped him. He said, stop it. Because he didn't want to hear the name of King Ambarish as anything less than these names. This is explained in this discussion. He said, before he could say, but what about king? Narayan stopped him. That Ambarish is equally powerful devotee than like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Sukadeva Goswami and Vedavyas. Just because he's a grihastha, he's a king, attached to kingly world duties, it is not that he's less significant. He's equally significant. And then he gives a very important secret. That my devotees are dear to me, but the devotees of my devotees are more dear to me. And Ambarish Maharaj is a wonderful devotee of my devotee. That is why I love Ambarish Maharaj. Don't think that he is anywhere less than the other devotees that you mentioned the names of. He is equally dear to me, Ambarish, because he is a devotee of my devotee. And then it is explained, the Narayan said, not only I love the devotees of my devotees, but Lord Narayan says, actually I prefer the love of the devotees, of my devotees. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, ye me bhakta jana partha, name bhaktas che jana, mad bhaktam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. That a devotee of my devotee is not my devotee, a devotee is not my devotee, but devotee of my servants, my devotees, he is my devotee. And this is what Lord Narayan is explaining. And then Narayan goes on to say a beautiful, he said, my dear Durvas, you must understand that you have offended Ambarish. You offended Ambarish. What is my significant position? What is my situation? He says, the Lord says, you should all know that I am Bhakta Paradhin. That there are different names the Lord himself gives. Very interesting names. Very, very relishable. Let us hear it very, very carefully. He says first that I am Bhakta Paradhin, one who is controlled by the devotees. Or Durvas, you should know this. First thing, that I am Bhakta Paradhin. Second, I am Sadhu Maya. That I am dependent on my devotees. Third, I am Sadhu Grasta Manas. What is the meaning of Sadhu Grasta Manas? Whose heart is wrapped in the thoughts of devotees. He first saying, I am Bhakta Paradhin, I am Sadhu Maya, I am Sadhu Grasta Manas, and then he said, I am Sadhu Priya, who loves his devotees. And then I'm sadhuchari, one who always resides amongst his devotees. And last he says, I'm sadhuchitta, in whose heart devotees reside. The Lord is again and again showing his complete dependency, love for his devotees. And he said that you must understand that you should have this conviction that I am completely attached to the devotees. And then he said, you know, Durvas, the Lord Narayan says, Durvas Muniji, you know something? Not only that I love my devotees, not only that I love the devotees of my devotees, but I love people who have even slight faith in my devotees. They may not love me, but even if they have some slight faith in my devotees, I give them shelter. And he said, Durvas Muni, you are the proof for that. And Durvas was surprised. How am I proof for that? I said, Durvas Muni, you went to Lord Shiva, running because this chakra was behind you. I said, Shiva, please give me shelter. And Lord Shiva said, I cannot give you shelter from this Sudarshan chakra. It belongs to Lord Narayan. You go to Narayan. He will give you complete shelter. He will give you complete care. And because you had faith in the words of Lord Shiva, I am in front of you right now. Otherwise, I don't give my vision to impersonalists like you. I have no business to deal with people like you. But because, this is very significant, I was quite amazed to understand this. Understand the Lord Narayan said, I have nothing to do with impersonalists. As explained, Rupa Goswami says that impersonalists, they meditate for thousands and thousands and thousands of years and they get the glimpse of Krishna's toenail. How is it that Durvas Muni is standing in front of Lord Narayan face to face? It's an important question. And Lord Narayan is very clearly explaining that I love the devotees so much. Sadhunam Hridayam Mayam Sadhunam Hridayam Tvam, that the devotees are in my heart and I am in the heart of my devotees. I know no one other than my devotees and devotees know no one but me. This is a beautiful verse in the ninth canto, in the same episode of Amrish and Durvas. He said that I love my devotees so much that anybody who is the devotee of my devotee, I love him also much more. And what to talk of devotees of my devotees? People who just have faith, a small faith in my pure devotees, I reveal myself to them because I am so much bounded by their love. Prem paradhin. I am so much dependent upon the love of my devotees that I have to follow what they say. And I guess that is the reason why all of us have some understanding of Krishna. Because we have some faith in Srila Prabhupada. Is explained by Krishna that my devotee, if you simply have some faith in that person, I will reveal to you. So this year we all know, based on this discussion, that Krishna loves his devotees, and one of the most amazing creations, one of the most wonderful devotees of Lord Krishna in our life is Srila Prabhupada. This is the year that he went to America 50 years ago. Very special, significant year. All these significant times come and go, and if we don't take advantage of these important times, then we are the biggest losers. This is the year which is the 500th anniversary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming to Vrindavan. This is the year where is the 400th anniversary of the Chaitanya Chaitamrita getting completed at Sri Radha Kund, written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And this is also today the beginning of the most auspicious month of Purushottam. These wonderful years that come in our lives, they will come only once. They don't come again. It comes once and it goes. And if we do not take advantage of the situations, these important years, then we are the biggest losers. This is the year that we show our complete gratefulness to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, as we understand, this story is being told so very often, repeated again and again, that Srila Prabhupada went to this very, very difficult place, America, with practically no money. A pauper. But by going there, he has made the world very rich. Rich in devotion to Krishna. Because Prabhupada carried that wealth of Krishna bhakti in his heart and he distributed to everybody. And because the devotees had faith in Prabhupada. If you ask the devotees, why did you follow Prabhupada? Most of the devotees didn't even understand what Prabhupada spoke in the beginning years because of his heavy Bengali accent. There was a rule that do not trust anybody above 30. The hippies were strongly believing this. Do not trust anybody above 30. And Prabhupada was 70 years old. How is it that they followed Prabhupada? How is it that they listened to Prabhupada even though they didn't understand what he spoke? Because they had faith. Their conviction that this man is not coming to cheat us. They had faith in Prabhupada. And that's how the mission expanded. Because Krishna was showing unlimited mercy to anybody who had slight faith in Srila Prabhupada. Just the way it is showed here by Lord Narayan talking to Durvas. That how much Lord Narayan becomes very happy for anybody who has some faith in his pure devotees. So very, very significant month. And this, significant year, and this month of Purushottam is also very, very equally significant. It's explained, this is a beautiful story. I'm sure all of you have got the stories in your various phones and various means of communications that exist right now. But it is important to repeat. This is a beautiful story from the Padma Puran. There was an extra month which was created because as per the calculation, based on the solar, we understand that there's a leap year every 4 years because there is excess, 0.25 days excess every year, and that is covered. Similarly, based on the calculation that we follow, which is the lunar, there's excess month which is created. And that month, the sages said, this is useless. This is a useless month. Right? Many times, I remember many years back, many years back, I would help my mother to make papad. Papad? It was a nice activity in the vacation. She would make papad. And then we make a long dough and we cut equal size of the papad. And obviously when you make the dough, the last part usually is not the right size. So you take that part and you throw it and you mix it. Because we want proper size. So I was remembering that anything which is remaining becomes tuccha, useless. And then you either throw it or you do something about it, you mix it. Similarly, this left out month was called Malamas. It is, Mala means stool. Can you imagine? It is stool mass. Can you imagine you tell somebody you are like stool? I say because you are practically useless. You are like stool. So this month was feeling very disgusted. I said this is such an inauspicious month. They said that you cannot do anything good in this month because it's stool. There cannot be anything good in the stool. In fact, when the stool goes out, everything becomes good in the stomach, right? We want to get rid of that mull and then things become nice. Oh, very, very heavenly feeling we get. So similarly, this month was called Malamas. It's Adhikamas, extra. It is useless. So out of desperation, out of sincere feeling, very, 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 very sad, this month approached Lord Vishnu. Because everything is personified in this in the spiritual world. This month approached Vishnu and said, Vishnu, please, I am feeling so bad that this my month is considered to be useless, stool-like month. And every month has a presiding demigod, Adhishthata Devata. But nobody wants to be my Devata because I am useless. Please do something. So this feeling of complete dejection, Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. This feeling of Akinchana was there in this month. And then, somebody who has no shelter and takes complete shelter of Krishna or Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu gives complete shelter. The whole basis of this month being what it is now, as we will describe further, is the sincere feeling of akinchana. Sincere feeling of feeling insignificant and approaching the right person. Sometimes you feel insignificant, then you start doing prajalpa. And that gives rise to band and all sorts of things. Today we have in Bombay, all the rickshaws are closed. Because, you know, there is something that we are, amari mange puri karo. Means, you know, they think we are insignificant, but we want to show our significance. And you do prajalpa, and it gives rise to trouble. But when you have insignificant position, when you feel you are troubled, and you approach the right person, there's a solution. And not only a solution, but you become great yourself. So this month, approach Krishna. Not that you were doing prajalpa and trying to, you know, petition some wrong person. Prabhupada Krishna and Vishnu said that I will become your presiding deity of your month. And your month will become most auspicious. Anything spiritual you want to do in this month, it becomes supremely much more auspicious. And now I will take you to Lord Krishna, to Goloka Vrindavan. And then he took this month, Lord Vishnu took this month to Goloka Vrindavan. And there was so much effulgence. As explained, this month closed his eyes. He said, I can't see this effulgence. Lord Vishnu dragged him. And with his power, this Adhik Mas was taken to Goloka Vrindavan. And put in front of, right in front of Krishna. And Vishnu folded his hands in front of Krishna. Oh Supreme Lord, Krishna. Vishnu is saying that. As we all know, this is the understanding. I said, this month is completely surrendering itself unto your lotus feet. You must give complete shelter. I have given complete shelter to this month. You also give your shelter. And Krishna said that this month will be known as Purushottam month. Uttam means the best. Purush means Krishna. Krishna is the best Purusha. And this month will be known after my name as Purushottam Mas. And if somebody follows this month very strictly, performing all the prescribed religious practices with utmost humility, with utmost enthusiasm, then he will attain the lotus feet of mine in Goloka Vrindavan. Now it sounds, well, you know, this is all, ek mahine mein karne ke Goloka Vrindavan, what is this? Right? I mean, many of times we have this logical thinking. That how can it, in just 1 month? But this is an inspiration for all of us to do it and continue doing it. That's the whole idea. It is not something that we do for a month. Insincere people, they want such situation, as explained by the other acharyas. That insincere people who are not doing anything other months, when they get this sort of a sale-like situation, they say, okay, let me do something at least a month. That's why if you see all the internet is flooded. I was reading an article today morning. I said, today you should, at least in this month, nobody should eat non-veg food. There's an article in newspapers. You should be kind to everybody, you should give charity. So people who, you know, who want such sale, they take advantage of this month and say, at least for this 1 month, they struggle somehow or the other not to eat non-veg food, you know, being kind and everything like that. But for devotees, that's not the purpose. You know, if we say don't eat non-veg food, so what? That's something. Our devotees are anyway chanting Hare Krishna. But it is in this month that you intensify your chanting. Devotees are anyway reading Srimad Bhagavatam, anyway reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it is in this month, which is the month of Purushottam, which is explained, it is even more greater than the month of Kartik. Of course, how can you compare? I mean, you know, if something is raised to 10 raised to a million, and something is 10 raised to a billion, what difference it makes to us? Anything more than 10 zeros is same for us, isn't it? anything more than a multiple of 10 is as big. So something is greater than Kartik. I mean, in one sense, doesn't make a secret because Kartik is equally great and Purushottam is greater than Kartik. That's fine. But we all need to take advantage. So it is explained that we should all increase in this month of Kartik because there's so much benediction given. Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu is given benediction. That we should increase the number of rounds. Not just numbers, but in quality. We should do some tapasya. Of course, it might be immaterial for you all, most of you brahmacharis to speak, but it's explained you should sleep on mats, which all of you are anyway doing, so yes, you are glorious. But some tapasya, that there should be minimal comfort to the body, and using all the energy that we use to comfort our body, all the time that we use to give comfort to the body, to worship Krishna. To increase our devotion to Krishna. It is explained that you should regularly offer flowers. These are all very sweet little small things which captivate the Lord. These are all these things which the Lord Himself speaks. So when the Lord is speaking Himself, these are small things. You will say, well, what is so great? But even this month, if you are conscious that you offer a flower, it is explained by our acharyas that you should sing the beautiful bhajans like Jai Radha Madhav. Now Jai Radha Madhav we are going to sing every day. But if you are conscious of it, because please understand, what is important is not the activity. It is not the International Society for Krishna activity. It is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's not an activity-based society, it's a consciousness-based society. So how conscious we are in this month, and not only ending this month, henceforth is going to decide our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So singing bhajans and kirtans, offering flowers, offering garlands to the Lord. And I was thinking all these things are very important, doing ghee lamps. Offering ghee lamps. Obe prema pradipe aroti tomar, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. And his beautiful bhajan, that I will make with a wick of my love, I will light it with my devotion and offer that wick of my love, light it with my devotion as an offering to your lotus feet. Prema Pradipa. So you put your love in that small deep, and Krishna, we want to worship you. This month is a wonderful month of Purushottam. I want to offer, use my devotion. Taking holy dips. Not that we become, ritualistic. Just by this mantra chanting in our own respective washrooms, we can invoke the presence of these wonderful holy rivers and take our snan. If possible, if you are going to a holy place, take your dip there. But let us not make it ritualistic. That's the danger. Doing everything ritualistic is not going to attract Krishna's attention. If you may do it with intensity, with the proper consciousness, that is going to attract Krishna's attention. And I was discussing with one very senior leader of ISKCON yesterday, and he said that for us, the best thing to do in this month of Purushottam is increase our Prabhupada consciousness. As we are talking about, Krishna loves His devotees, and Krishna loves the devotees of His devotees. And we all know this holy month, holy year of 50th anniversary of Prabhupada going to America. And because of that journey, I'm sure we all find ourselves sitting where we are sitting right now, doing what we are doing right now, and continue doing what we will do in the future. It is a month of showing our indebtedness to Srila Prabhupada. It's a month of creating our devotion to Srila Prabhupada. It's a month to show our thankfulness to Srila Prabhupada for what He has done in our lives. And how do we show our indebtedness to Srila Prabhupada? By becoming a much better devotee that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be. So this is a wonderful consciousness that we can all have in this month. It is explained that one should eat simple. Now that what simplicity means for each one of us would be different. But as much as possible, be little different than what you are usually. Don't let this month go like any other month, otherwise you'll be a loser. Increase your devotion, increase your attachment, because it's a wonderful occasion. Whatever you do is going to be to your benefit. So this month of Purushottam, which is starting today, it is explained that this month of Purushottam, you can celebrate any festival, any day. That's why, you know, there are different temples, they celebrate all different festivals in different days. Today is Janmashtami, tomorrow is Govardhan Leela, this and that. So in your hearts, maybe in your homes, or maybe in your ashrams, or maybe in your whatever way you are, you can celebrate different festivals, because this month is all auspicious. You can celebrate all the beautiful festivals, something very, very dear to your heart, you can celebrate in this month of Purushottam. And let us all increase our devotion to Krishna. Let us increase, most important, our respect for the devotees of the Lord. Because as explained in this, in our first discussion, that Krishna loves his devotees. There's one point that comes to my mind, that Krishna fights with his demons. The demons shoot arrows, they beat him, and Krishna, kills them. When somebody, kicks us on our feet or hurts us on our hand, we feel angry, we feel disgusted, we fight. What if somebody stabs us in our heart? That's the worst, isn't it? So demons, they may kick Krishna, they may hurt Krishna, because they have some, they want to make offenses to Krishna. But when we are disrespectful to the devotees, we are actually stabbing Krishna's heart. That's why Krishna becomes more disgusted with the devotees, with apparently his devotees, who do not have a proper understanding of his devotees, than even the demons. Krishna fights the demons, he kills them and forgets them. But what he really hates, because it's like stabbing Krishna's heart, because in Krishna's heart are his devotees. It's like stabbing Krishna's heart. It's like killing Krishna. Krishna within your heart will be killed if you don't respect the devotees of the Lord. Because Krishna loves his devotees. Sadhu Priya. Krishna loves his devotees. Let us meditate upon this beautiful understanding as given by Lord Shiva. He is beautifully describing the beautiful qualities of Krishna, which is making him worthy of our surrender, making him worthy of being the best friend that we can ever have in our life. All these beautiful qualities that Krishna has. And with this understanding, with this meditation, let us enter into this month of Purushottam and increase our devotion, increase our understanding, increase our love for the devotees. Hate the sin and not the sinner. You might see some drawbacks in the devotees. Fine, tolerate them, forgive them, endure them. But hate the sin, not the sinner. Devotees by themselves, Krishna loves them. And that's good enough for us to really respect them and never disrespect them. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions, any additions? Senior devotees, they want to add anything? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Purushottam Maas ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.